Salvation Army. They were active. They would blow into town, and some of them would have axes. They'd take after the bars, start doing some physical chopping. They created a stir when they come into town. And they were called soldiers. I like that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men
who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness." Then say, "Endure the lazy boy. Endure the padded pew." Now, when you had boards that you sat on, and when you sat on them just the right way, they would pinch. That's enduring hardness. Talk to me about how hard it is to sit on those pews. Good grief. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." When a person volunteers to enter the military, there's no longer a draft. I wish there was. But it's volunteer. But when you volunteer to go into the military, there's only one objective. And it's not be all you can be, see the world, learn a career, get an education. No, it's fight and overcome an enemy of your country. That's the main objective. All the training, all the preparation is to strengthen you from being a weak little mama's boy into a man that's capable of taking on a trusted responsibility of overpowering and defeating an enemy. All the other things are secondary to the mission. "I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the regulations and the uniform code of military justice. So help me God." And you enter into military service. You learn to endure hardship. You learn to follow an order without question or hesitation. And how to handle and use a weapon blindfolded. That's fun. You're told what to wear, where to live, where to go, and what to do. You're told what time to get up in the morning, what time to go to bed. You are not your own. You have been bought by the taxpayer money to perform a duty. You learn how to live and work and fight and get along with other people. You learn to respect authority, respect others, and to respect yourself. You learn honor, duty, and determination. You learn how to make up a bed, how to wash your uniform, how to iron it, how to keep yourself washed and shaved, and keep your belongings in inspection order. You prepare for tests for inspections and for drills. You learn your job so well that you can perform it subconsciously and despite your fear. Then one day, when you have successfully performed your duty and you stand on the parade ground in front of the viewing stand, the platform, in your dress uniform, you stand before your commander and he pins a citation on your chest. You salute. He salutes. And you say, "Thank you, sir." And you walk away. While he says, "Well done, soldier." The Constitution of our country is worth serving and defending. How much more worthy is the Lord Jesus Christ of our service and dedication and commitment? Should we serve Him with any less dedication, any less commitment? After basic training, they sent us to a technical school where we learned our specific jobs. In my case, it was intercontinental ballistic missiles. Can you imagine me? Yeah, you didn't know it, but in the early 1970s, you slept safe and secure. One of the main things we learned was our enemy and the missiles that he had. Please notice verse 1 again. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in His grace. In our reading in Joshua, verse 1, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, and verse 18 all said, "Be strong." Look at 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch. That's a military command. Stand watch. Be on guard. Stand fast. That's another military command. It means don't give ground. Don't retreat. Don't back up. Stand fast. Hold your territory that you've gained. Watch, stand fast in the faith. And quit, Q-U-I-T. Quit you like men. Be strong. I love that word. Great word. Quit. It commonly means to withdraw, to walk away from. But that would be a contradiction in commands when he said to stand fast. So what does he mean, quit like men? Here it means that what is walking away is your performed duties, like a checklist. To quit you like that you have a list of responsibilities and duties. And to quit like men means you perform every one of those duties until they're completed and done, whether you feel good, whether you have the sniffles, whether someone's making fun of you or not. You stand your ground and you do your work and you perform your duties regardless of circumstances until they're finished. Persevere until the job's finished. When all of the debate between Job and his three friends were over. The Lord stepped out of the whirlwind and he told Job, gird up your loins like a man. Gird up your loins. That means take your robe and gather it up and make breeches out of it and tie it off. Gird it around your waist. And your robe is looks like a pair of pants now. So you can run without tripping on the edge of your robe and falling over. He said, in other words, gather yourself together and look like a man. And act like a man. And listen to my rebuke as a man. Don't get your feelings hurt. Stop complaining and allowing your emotions and your pain to control you. Stop acting like a woman, Job. What God was telling him. God said, you don't have the physiological makeup of a woman. God said, I created you and designed you different than a woman so that you can do things differently, so that you can endure hardship as a good soldier. And then we as Christians are to exceed the discipline and training from the strength of the flesh and mind as the world does. If the world can do that in the power of their flesh, what can the church of God do in the power of Jesus Christ? The enemy we face is spiritual. Not physical, not emotional. It's spiritual. And it's unseen. So the enemy has to be fought spiritually. The strength and the training that we need has to be spiritual. Ephesians chapter 6. Where we left off last time. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's all spiritual. It's not a physical battle that we're fighting. It's a spiritual one. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Finally, verse 10 begins. Finally. The discipling and training is not over. In the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians doesn't end at chapter 6, verse 9. There's still more to be applied of the doctrine of the first three chapters. The application of the doctrine is not complete by just being filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 18 is the pinnacle of the second half of Ephesians. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The first three chapters doctrinally teach what our wealth in Christ is. And then chapters 4 through 6 teach us practically what our walk with Christ is to be. So we have the wealth of Christ, chapters 1 to 3, and our walk with Christ, chapters 4 to 6. The walk begins in chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. God has called us to a job. He's equipped us. He's gifted us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then in turn exercises the gifts, the spiritual gifts that we need to perform the task that we're called upon to do. God's worthy of our service. God's worthy of our work. God's worthy of our labor in His vineyard to do what He has saved us and called us to do. Verse 17 says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Don't walk like somebody that's lost. Don't live your life like the lost people live. In the he said, in the vanity of their mind. The world, lost people live a life of delusion. They live a life of a lie. They have believed and swallowed a lie. And so what their mind believes about science, what their mind believes about how this world came into existence, it's vanity, it's empty, it's meaningless, it comes to nothing. They're all swelled up with pride of knowledge, and it's gotten them nowhere. He said, don't live your life like that. Don't walk after, don't let your mind, your fallen mind, control your will and control and determine how you live your life. Don't compare yourself to other people. When you do that, you'll imitate those who you like and you'll despise those who you don't like. You ever walked in a room and then size everybody up? I'm better than him. I'm better than him. I can beat him up. Well, she can beat me up, but I can beat up her husband. Yeah. He said, don't do that. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, see that? Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. You know, we can imitate that as Christians. You know, if you close your eyes, you can't see any more than a blind man can. He said, that's not how you're to walk. He said, verse 20, you've not so learned Christ. That's not what Christ has saved you to do. That's not what you've been discipled to do. Chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Always with love. It's always in the context of sacrifice, of giving. Not receiving. Not getting. Don't walk with the ungodly, verse 7 says, and Psalm 1 says. Verse 8, past tense, you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Children of righteousness. Children of a God who is righteous and holy. You were, not anymore. You were darkness. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. Extremely careful, like you're walking through a minefield. When you walk through the world, you're walking on enemy territory. The road in front of you is mined with the traps and the snares of Satan and his emissaries that control the world and the world system. Don't become friends with the world. Don't be so connected to your device that the world streams its philosophy and current events and ideas and teaching into you 24 hours a day. You'll shrivel up spiritually and blow away when you devote more time to the world than you do to the things of God. Then keep your finger there and go over two books to the right. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Colossians 2, verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, Paul says, yet I'm with you in the Spirit. I'm joying in beholding your order. Your order, that's the discipline. That's you're doing what's right. Your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. You don't waver. Your faith has taught you from the Word of God what's doctrinally correct and what's not. And that faith has worked itself out through a commitment in your heart and through actions in your body. You're steadfast in the faith. He said, and I rejoice when I hear about that. Rooted. Built up in Him. And established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, he says, when you're in that position, Colossian church, you need to take care. You need to be careful. You need to set a watch out. You need to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. That's what the world thinks. That's the world's ideas about what God said. The world says, no, here's what we think. That's philosophy. Philosophy is what a man thinks. The Bible is what God says. Beware of philosophy. Beware of opinions. What does that verse mean to you? Who cares what it means to you? What does it say? Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. It's just puffed up pride. Look at my pieces of paper on the wall. It's empty. It's vanity. It serves no spiritual purpose. It's just an intellectual exercise among those who are proud of their learning and proud of their knowledge. Beware of that, he said. It's a temptation. After the tradition of men. Is that what determines right or wrong? The way that everybody is doing it or the way they've done it in the past? Is that what's right or wrong? Is sincerity? Is that right? Is that what determines right or wrong? No, it's the Word of God. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments, the workings of the world, and not after Christ. You can extract an average church office and put it inside of an insurance company and you won't even be able to tell the difference. The way a church functions and operates, it should be completely different than the way that a business operates. When the first thing you do when you look at the treasury report say, "Woo, we made money." You hadn't got it yet. We're not in business to make money. We're in business to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. When I give place to someone, what am I doing? Opening the door. When I give place to someone, Brother Chuck, come here. You're handy. He's got crawl over Minta, so you're better. Okay, go that way and walk toward me. Okay, walk toward me. If I give place to you, this is what I do. Okay? All right? Welcome. All right? Okay, thank you, brother. The Lord says, don't provide a home for the devil in your house. That'll take care of pornography. That'll take care of some movies. That'll take care of some books. That'll take care of some magazines. That'll take care of some TV shows. That'll take care of some things on your computer that you bring into the house. I'm telling you, you can't give place to the devil and then go ahead and serve God at the same time. He said, don't give place to the devil. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't give him an open door into your heart. Verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed, you're marked until the day of redemption. Don't produce pain in the heart of God by giving place to the devil, by giving into your flesh, and by giving into the world and becoming entangled with the world and the affairs of the world. It grieves the Holy Spirit. It quenches the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Now, you have to work according to your own ingenuity. You have to scheme and work your way out of problems. You have to spend money to solve problems. You are acutely aware of the stress that you're under. You're acutely aware your emotions is telling you with that big knot in your stomach that you can't even eat right without having difficulties and problems. That's not the way God designed our life on the chalkboard to live. Say, well, the fall and sin changed all that. Yeah, and salvation corrected it. But we keep falling and defaulting back to our position as to how we lived when we were lost. Now, chapter 5, verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be under the control of alcohol. Don't be under the control of a substance of the world. Don't be under control of drugs. America has over-medicated itself into oblivion. Sorry, pharmacist friends. But you're not getting your living from that anymore, so I can say that. Budge is retired too, so. I mean, look at the average medication list that people... I was in the emergency room the other day, and you know you're supposed to bring your medicine in. There was a woman, she had one of those big baggies, it was about that big, and it was full. My soul! Don't be under the control of the world, in other words. If you got high blood pressure, you need to take high blood pressure medicine. All right? Well, I have to have this little pill because I have such a problem with depression. No, you got a problem with being right with God. And a pill won't do it. Getting down on your knees at a prayer altar will take care of that. Amen. I'll beat you to it this time. Don't be under the control of the world. Don't be under the control of your mind. Don't be under the control of your emotions. Don't be under the control of your flesh. Be in control of the Holy Spirit. And everything rises up to that and falls from that in the teaching here in Ephesians. And then you work it out. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when your will is underneath the will of God in the Holy Spirit, when He controls you, you apply it and it changes the way that you interact with people at church. It changes how you interact with other people in general. It changes your marriage. It changes your home life. And it changes how you work and interact on your job. When we begin living every aspect of our life filled with the Holy Spirit, under the control of the Holy Spirit, our decisions, plans, goals, agendas, schedules are all under His control. Our wills have been placed in submission to His will. And then, as in the military, we volunteered. God didn't force salvation on us. We ask to be saved. We ask to have His life in us. We volunteered. He tells us and leads us what to wear, where to live, where to go, and what to do. We are not our own. We've been bought and paid for with the precious, valuable blood of Jesus Christ in order to perform a duty and responsibility to Him. And as we build our lives, or rebuild them as the case is, on His foundation, filled with His Word, filled with His Spirit, we will begin to make an impact on other people's lives because our life now is impacted with God and with His Word. Lost people will begin to seek salvation. Saved people will begin to be discipled and grow as a result of us being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's wonderful. It's joyful. It's fulfilling. But be on guard. That position will be met with opposition. The enemy will not let that go unchallenged because you are invading his territory. You're setting his slaves free. God's people are growing and becoming more effective witnesses. He can't have that. Now prepare for this to happen. Train for it to happen. Chapter 4, verse 27 again. Neither give place to the devil. How? Back up to 17. Don't act like the lost. Don't think like the world. Don't act like the world. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 23 says. That's the mind of Christ that we received at salvation. Put on, verse 24 says, the new man, the new nature, that human spirit that's came alive at salvation. Wear it. Put it on. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's the same thing Paul said in Romans 12, verse 2. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the Holy Spirit. Chapter 1, verse 19 of Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 19. Paul is praying for three things to happen with the church at Ephesus. And the third thing in verse 19, he said that you would know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. He said, the same Spirit of God that's indwelling you indwelt the Lord Jesus Christ when He was dead in a tomb, and it was that power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That same Holy Spirit, that same power resides in you that are saved. There is nothing that you cannot do that God has called you to do, because He, through the Holy Spirit, has given you the ability and the strength and the power to do it. Chapter 3, verse 19. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's not fathomed in your human mind. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There it is. Same thing you said in chapter 5, verse 18. To be filled with God, to be under the control of God and His will and His word. That's how the Lord has saved us to live our life. You see, it's a spiritual strength and ability to fight and overcome a spiritual enemy. Say, well, my urge inside is just too powerful. No, it's not. Well, the pull of the world is just too powerful. No, it's not. It's not more powerful than God. Now, it's more powerful than us and our resolution of the mind. And I promise, well, I'm going to do better. Oh, it's more powerful than that, but it's not more powerful than the power of God. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is magnifying Jesus Christ. It means that the love of Jesus Christ is being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5 says. It means to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means to be strong in love. It means to be strong in joy. It means to be strong in peace. It means to be strong in long-suffering. It means to be strong in gentleness. It means to be strong in goodness. It means to be strong in faith. It means to be strong in meekness. It means to be strong in temperance. It means to be strong in grace. It means to be strong in the Word of God. It means to be strong in prayer. It means to be strong in holiness. It means to be strong in righteousness. It means to be strong in the gospel, leading people to salvation. It means to be strong in fellowship, leading people to church. It needs to be strong in discipleship, leading people to the Word of Jesus Christ. It means to be strong in worship. It means to be strong in praise. It means to be strong in ministry. It means to be strong in building the house, the temple, the walls of Jesus Christ, the spiritual temple in our life, even in the face of opposition and difficulties. It's all there in chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore. Same command in 1 Corinthians 16. Stand. Stand fast. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Don't retreat. Don't back up. Don't give place to the enemy. Truth, that's spiritual. Righteousness, that's spiritual. Keep reading down. The gospel, that's spiritual. Faith, that's spiritual. Salvation, that means a deliverance, not justification. Deliverance, that's spiritual. The Word of God, that's spiritual. Prayer, verse 18, that's spiritual. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. That's our action that we do. God doesn't do it for us. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He said, now, go therefore in that power, in that authority, in that strength, and do what I've called you to do. And it's only as we step out and begin to obey that, that we experience the strength of the Lord and the power of His might. Stand, he said, against the wiles, the plans, the snares, the traps, the devices of the devil. He said, stand. Did he say attack? Did he say fight the devil? Nope. James 4. You see, we've allowed false teaching to affect the truth and our understanding of the truth.
Well, you need to fight against the demons.
The latest conclave in Rome. Here's some priest that's going to exorcise demons. And you know what the first thing they told him to do? Yell at the devil. Oh, that's going to make him scared. Good night. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What does that mean? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be strong in the power of His might. Submit. That means your will is not governing your life. God's will is. It means your decisions are not based on what's good for you. It's what's good for the purpose and the will of God. Submit yourselves therefore to Him. Resist the devil. What is that? Remember what Brother Chuck did? Resist the devil means I don't give him place. You ain't getting by. Stand. The Holy Spirit has led me. I'm building a habitation for God. I'm working in the church. I'm working in my marriage. I'm working in my home with my children. I'm working at my job. I'm working in the community, the work of God. And I've reached a place. The opposition, the difficulties, the problems are coming. What did he say? All right. Stand where you're at right now. Don't back up. Don't say, oh gosh, I hurt. Oh my goodness, I've got a sore throat. Oh, I've got some sniffles. I need to stay. No, stand. Stay put. With your will and your life submitted to God. And guess what will happen? What does it say? We either believe that or we don't. If we'll do that, if we'll do what Ephesians 6 says to do, after we submit it to chapter 5, verse 18, he says, the devil will flee from you. Because you're so powerful? No, because the strength that is in you from the Lord and the fullness of the Holy Spirit is so powerful. He goes on to easier prey. That's plugged into the internet. Keep doing the work regardless of circumstances. Is that not what we learned from Ezra? They quit because of opposition. When they resumed the work, the opposition was still there. They just didn't pay it any mind. They kept working and doing what God said to do. That's the message. Your flesh, the world, and Satan cannot prevent you from doing what God has saved you to do unless you give place to it. Now, here's the exhortation. Don't. It's a matter of obedience. Faith in what God said. What is the military? What is a military success? Is when the soldier obeys the command from the commander who planned the attack. When a soldier disobeys orders, it can mess up and lose a battle. That's what's happening with Christians today. That's why we're losing battles, is because we're relying on our own strength, on the knowledge of our mind, on how smart we are, how good looking we are, how well we do other things. And we're doing and trying to serve the Lord with that same strength, and we're failing. Finally, you tired of failing? Finally, my brethren, be strong. But be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Pick up the duties and responsibilities He saved us to do. And get back to work rebuilding this house, this life, for a habitation of God, so that we can make a difference in our life, in the life around us, in our marriage, in our homes, on our jobs, and in our community, and eventually in the world. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Lord, may we connect our faith to it. May we line up our life to it. May we step out in a different direction when we leave the building today. May we step out being led by Your Holy Spirit. May we start the day being led by Your Holy Spirit. May we finish the day having been led by Your Holy Spirit and under the control of Your Spirit. And under the obedience of Your Word. And Lord, as opposition comes, as difficulties come, we look not at the difficulties. We look not at the problems. We continue to look to the path that the Holy Spirit is leading us. We continue to focus on You. We continue to focus on the job You've called us to do, whether the sun's shining or whether it's cloudy, whether it's raining, whether it's flooding, whether it's a hurricane, whether it's a tornado, whether it's clear skies. Lord, we continue to do what You've called us to do regardless of how we feel, regardless of how we think, regardless of how our body feels, regardless of what other people think, regardless of what other people are doing. We just keep on doing what You've called us to do in Your power and Your strength. And God, would You please open our eyes to see this from Your Word. Awaken us. We that are saved do not have a problem with blindness. We have a problem with sleep. So wake us up, Lord, from our complacency, from our laziness, from our worldliness, from our fleshliness. Wake us up, Lord, to what You've saved us to do. People all around us are dying and dropping into hell. And You've placed us there to do a job and a duty, and we're not doing it. Lord, may we get busy and get back into the battle. Lord, for those that are not saved, Lord, they
probably don't have the faintest idea what I'm talking about and what your word is saying. It's because that Satan has blinded their eyes, their minds, and their hearts. Lord, I pray the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ would shine into those dark places in their life and bring forth repentance and salvation. Lord, awake those that sleep and put us back where we need to be. We pray in Jesus' name.